The Old Testament reading today is from Proverbs 9, 1 through 10. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beast. She has mixed her wine. She's also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To whom who lacks sense, she says, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in a way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abused, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instructions to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, 6-21. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are in the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks and always for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 6th chapter. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to that? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, and there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said to them, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. After this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was our Old Testament lesson from Proverbs. Boy, it could take a while to answer this question, but if I asked you, why'd you come to church today? I'd be kind of curious at some of the answers. Or the group that came to Bible study, which, by the way, was totally awesome. I think we only had two empty seats. Awesome, but why'd you come to Bible study? Have you ever actually asked yourself that question? Why do you do this every Sunday morning? Have you ever wondered, on the way to church, am I going to ever get anything out of it? Paul kind of answers that in his letter to Timothy, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Key part, to make us wise for salvation. Can somebody define what intelligence is? Don't say what we don't find in Congress. What's intelligence? Pardon? Yes, Larry, I like that definition. It was a little clearer than yours, John. Yours is the result of intelligence. Okay? But what Larry said was the capability to learn? The ability to learn. Yes, that's intelligence. Wisdom, though, is what do you do with what you know? I mean, over the years, I've known some very intelligent people. But when it came to wisdom, a grasshopper had more. In our lesson from Proverbs, we have the point made that there's nothing more important than the wisdom that God gives us. And He gives it to us for salvation. And I want to look at two things. God's wisdom satisfies and God's wisdom instructs. And in Proverbs, I have a picture painted of a feast. And I think all of us can picture that, and I expect to hear the stomachs rumbling. All right, we can picture an incredible feast being set. And it's set in a beautiful house. It says it has seven pillars in front of it. So what do you get as an idea of what kind of house this is? All right, any of you all have seven pillars outside of your house? Oh, I've only got 10. Well, not really, but I picture it. Anyway, have the picture of an absolute mansion. Wisdom has built this. It says, she has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. I like this. She mixed her wine. What they would do is take certain spices and mix it in with the wine just to make it a bit better. You get the idea of an absolute first-class feast going on. And wisdom has set her table. All's ready. Now it's time for the invitation. And in our lesson, it says she sent out the young women, or maids, according to other translations, to tell everybody the feast is ready. And no one's excluded, which is key. No one is excluded from the invitation. So the wisdom is offered to everyone. And especially says the invitation is given to those who lack judgment or to those who are simple. See, we take being simple as almost an insult. I think because of the expression, somebody's simple-minded. But somebody who just basically has a basic understanding. When it comes to music and fixing cars, I am the simplest person in the world. All right? Bare bones understanding of them. So if you have a bare bones understanding of wisdom, especially come to this feast. It says wisdom will feed them. And I love it. You go to a great big banquet somewhere and you stuff yourself senseless. I know, looking at the size of me, you know, being all skin and bones, it's ever hard to believe that I overeat.
See, if you can't pick on yourself, your world's too small. All right? So you pig out in grand style. By the way, growing up, my family was experts at this. Have you ever been told in an all-you-can-eat place it's time to leave? My grandpa and I were told to leave. And I was proud of that day. But guess what happened the next day? Yeah, I was a teenage boy. I was hungry by the time we got home. All right, I was certainly hungry the next day. But the food that wisdom gives is not just for today. It's for eternity and salvation. The Bible uses that picture of a feast, a banquet, to describe salvation or heaven. And we would learn something. This feast is prepared for us. It is fed to us, and it's good for eternity. That fed to you takes out any idea that I have any role in my salvation. But what happens? The invitation goes out to everyone. Everyone is invited. And does everyone listen? No. Some just forget to listen. Jesus tells that parable in the New Testament about the wedding banquet and that the guests were too busy to come. You know, one says, I just married a cow, I bought a wife, I have fields. I just can't come. See, sometimes I throw that stuff in just to see if all y'all were listening. Invitation just goes out, and a lot of people just say, I am frankly too busy for it. Sports, whatever it is, gets in the way. And sometimes we neglect God's word. Now, we need the wisdom, but we neglect his word. And by the way, his words never turn into a game that I totally despise and want to throw them all into a big fire. Is Bible trivia games. Do you ever see on stupid Facebook, what's your knowledge of the Bible? Who was a king that succeeded Ahab? Anybody know that one offhand? Neither do I. I probably could figure it out, but I don't know. See, the Bible should never be turned into a set of trivial facts like that. Because the Bible, what's written in there is not trivia. It is for our salvation. So anyways, that's just my rant about that game. So if I come over to your house and you have one of those, get rid of it. Because I carry a Zippo, I will burn it. See, the Bible is for to give us the wisdom for salvation. And by the way, you can tell the wise by their actions. James. Never got a question about the Bible, just go to the book of James. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. So you know those who are wise by God's standards, by who they are in their everyday life. And don't you wish all people had those traits that I just read? Wow, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Isn't that almost like the description of the characteristics of how we'll be in heaven? Wish we all had those traits. And wisdom comes to us and instructs us. We are instructed in the word and will of God. And we do know right and wrong, okay? If we had no right and wrong in this world, we'd end up with chaos, wouldn't we? So we have the rights and the wrongs. And some just don't want to admit it. The right being, and I'm not talking about the rules, this you got to do and this you can't do. I'm talking about right and wrong. This is the way to salvation. This is not. There's not a middle ground in there. And what happens in the Bible when people go out and proclaim this message to the world? I mean, seriously, when Paul went to go visit Athens, I mean, didn't they put on a big feast and invite all the speakers in to talk before Paul, and he was the main attraction and everything was good? What'd they do to Paul? All right. What'd they do to the Old Testament prophets? Oh, that's right. The prophets went to the king and says, "Oh, king, you cannot do this." And the king says, "Oh, you're right. Oh, yeah, it says in the scripture. Okay, I'm done. I'm not going to do that anymore." Is that how it ends? No. It doesn't end up good for a whole lot of them. Bible says, "Whoever corrects a mocker brings on insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse." You know, I mentioned the Old Testament prophets. They went to the king, and a lot of them got killed for it. But why did they continue to preach that word? Was it their word? Well, I mean, it's kind of an obvious question. Was it their word or God's word? It's God's word. So when they rejected the prophet, who were they rejecting? God. So the prophet said, "This is God's word, and I'm going to preach it anyway." Now, some did listen. Same thing in our world today. Some do listen. And the wise become wiser. We come to church to become wiser in salvation. What has Christ done for us? Do you ever get to the point where you just say, "Man, I know this Bible and I got it all down. I mean, I understand everything in it." All right. How many of you think I know the vast majority of Scripture and everything that God wants? Say what? Now you threw me, John. Even pastors have to spend time in the Word. Not just to write the sermons or the Bible study, but to spend Word myself to understand His will. By the way, pastors have an inherent danger that we spend all of our time in the Word while we're working on sermons and Bible studies, and we neglect letting God feed us. So it's a never-ending quest to gain the wisdom that comes from God. And I really don't understand those, I really don't, who reject God and His Word and say it doesn't matter. But in Corinthians, we are told that some will look at the Word as foolishness. And Corinthians makes a point, you know, the foolishness of God is wiser than all the wisdom of man. Not that God can be foolish, but suppose God was foolish. That is still wiser than any philosopher that we've ever had, or all of them combined. Bible says the message of the cross is foolishness to some, but the message of the cross is salvation. It is the power of God. And people say, "Well, why keep the commandments? Can I keep them all?" All right, how many of you kept all 10 commandments this past week? Should I work my way down? 9? 1? You know what? We're all in the same boat. All right? People say, "Well, I can't do that, so I'm not going to do it because it doesn't get me into heaven. It's not a checklist. I've done. See, Lord, I have done all these great things. Now let me in." It doesn't get us into heaven. All of what we call the law is God's gift to us. And I mean, we can get a whole discussion sometime about law and gospel, but I just want to make one point about the law. It tells us, avoid these things because it's going to endanger your faith. I mean, if you kind of want to look at it this way, when you're flying down the highway and they have a sharp corner and it says 25 miles an hour, how many of you floor it to 70? Really? What do? You drop your speed limit in a hurry. Why? Because guess what if you don't? There is a great curve in Cleveland, Ohio, called Dead Man's Curve. And I kid you not, the entire curve of it, you can see scrapes and paints and everything else along the way, broken side mirrors, because guess what? Some said, 25? Watch this. That, in a sense, is one of the purposes of the law. It just says, avoid this stuff because it's going to damage your salvation. So we stay away from it. Going back to that first question I asked, why do we gather for worship? It's to hear the message of salvation. There's one church, and I use that a very loose term, the Unitarian Universalist. There's one down in, where is IU located? Bloomington. Well, I only know where Michigan's located. It's the only college that matters. Down in Bloomington, there is, when you first come in, a Universalist Unitarian Church. You know what they believe? Basically, whatever you want, God is whatever you want Him to be. So I can look at my little tree frog and say, and salvation, everybody gets there anyway. They drive me nuts, if you haven't noticed. All right? World is just as evil back in the biblical times as it is now. I've said it many times. Technology just allows us to sin faster. All right? Sin hasn't changed in the world. We just sin faster because of technology. But the Bible calls us to be beacons of God's truth. To know the Lord is to possess wisdom. Look at St. Paul for a minute. The man who persecuted the Christians, killed them, and St. Paul says, I was really good at it. You know, I was real zealous for the law. I really hunted them down. But what Paul writes is, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I might gain Christ. Paul had Christ in his life. What had happened before, God had forgiven. It didn't matter. All that mattered was that Paul knew Christ. Wisdom is an inheritance, something that benefits the hearer and those around them. In the book of Proverbs, to know God is to have eternal life. Wisdom satisfies the soul. It's what we need, not just to feel good about ourselves, but we need the wisdom of God for salvation. So my prayer is that God gives us wisdom for the knowledge of salvation. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. And we rise and confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed.